Hello and welcome to the Unmissables podcast. That was a very sing-song hello, wasn't it?
It sounded like it was going to be a story.
Hello.
Yeah. Hello.
Like Clouseau. Hello.
Hello.
I'm Boyd Hilton. I'm joined by my fabulous colleagues, Stephanie Seelan.
How do.
Clad today in what can only be described as a flowery dress, a floral dress, which is, listeners, quite unusual. I wouldn't bring up an outfit. Not in doing it a sexist way, honestly. It's not all about what women wear and all that. But you are wearing an unusual outfit for you.
It's a very nice it's dress. It's incredibly unusual for me. And as I said to you this morning, my husband said it was autumnal nun. That's what it looked
like.
It looked like an autumnal nun.
Oh, yeah, I thought it was a bit autumnal handmaid.
Yeah.
Autumnal, Handmaid's Tale.
It is a bit like that.
It's very fetching.
Kay is the other voice you can hear, Kay Ribeiro. She's in a fetching Gallic stripe.
Yeah.
I've gone and got a bit Parisian today, I think.
Mais oui.
And Boyd, who are you wearing?
I'm wearing my usual Supreme, yeah, mm-hmm. Obviously.
Classic.
This week, listeners, we're going to trawl our way through the week's big TV releases, as per. There's no real theme this week. I've tried to fathom a theme, I couldn't work one out, yeah, because they're very disparate, these offerings that are going to be in the meat. Hidden is a new Welsh noir. And Welsh noir, as we know, is the new big thing.
Is it the
television.
New Scandi noir?
No, it's the new. Well, I think we'll get to this, but I think it's heavily influenced by Scandi noir. I think we can safely say. But there's a new kind of like fashion for very good, very well made, compelling Welsh dramas. And Kay, I think, has been at the forefront of this with
pioneer,
your
pioneer, if you will.
Pioneer. Mm. I wrote about it in Heat briefly and got all the credit for it. But in fact, it was Kay. See, I'm crediting Kay now for championing that show. What was it called? That show,
Keeping Faith.
Which was a big hit, huge big hit on the BBC iPlayer. So it was made by BBC One Wales, originally shown in Wales, then it was shown on the iPlayer and became massive. Similarly with this, Hidden, it's going to be on BBC One Wales next Wednesday. And from that very night, everyone in the country can watch it on the iPlayer. And then the following Saturday, it's on BBC Four. Ooh. I mean, that's a complicated explanation. It was so complicated that Kate took a long time to understand that when I explained it to her this week.
I was driving him a bit nutso because I was writing the preview and he had to explain it about 15 times. Yeah. In that time, he could have written the preview himself.
Yeah. Suffice to say, you will be able to watch it even though it's Welsh. Well, and it's mostly in the English language.
But you can only watch it on the iPlayer.
You can watch it on the iPlayer.
So you can't watch it on, because we don't receive BBC One Wales.
No, but you can watch it on then BBC 4.
You know what? Funnily enough, if you've got Sky, you do have BBC One Wales.
I was going to say, I think I did have
a lot of people do have BBC One Wales. Yeah. Yeah, so if you want to watch it live.
So I can just watch it live.
Yeah. I mean, we spent a long time on this already and we haven't not even reviewing it yet. I mean, this is just the menu. Then The Staircase is on from next Friday, which we mentioned last week briefly, didn't we? In a kind of like in the early bit.
This is dizzy excitement.
Dizzy excitement. True crime series. Epic true crime series starting Netflix. On Netflix next Friday. Everyone can watch that on the Netflix, except you have to have the Netflix.
You have to have the Netflix.
Yeah.
$5.99.
And finally, Dietland, which is a big new drama, comedy drama, drama, I don't know.
It's a dramedy.
Dramedy. Thank you. It is American.
I think more drama than
that's starting on the Amazon Prime next Tuesday, which is another popular streaming service. Next Tuesday.
Yeah. Forgot about that.
5th of June. Very interesting. But before all of that, as is our tradition, we find out which true crime, dog-based Netflix streaming programming Steph has been watching, or even podcasts.
Well, now, do you remember last week when I said to you all, oh, have any of you watched Elias Grace on Netflix?
Yes.
Of course.
Now, I don't like to be down on things, but I am effing furious.
She's effing and Jeffing.
4 episodes, okay? And I said, it was great because it was a bit like The Alienist, which I really enjoyed, which is also available on Netflix, isn't it?
Yeah, you were raving about it last week.
Oh, I was raving. Then I got to episode 4.
Oh, dear.
The finale. Now, I had a little text message from a dear friend I like to call John Dan.
Oh, yeah.
And the words were, tell me when you finish Elias Grace. That was all it was. It was very mysterious. Mm.
That says it all, though.
Yeah. I thought...
Some things are coming.
He knows something. And I had just finished it, and I was in a furious rage because ending... So basically what I'm saying is, if I told you to watch it, just stop now, okay?
Wow.
Just stop it.
Wow.
Don't continue with
Do
something better with your
life.
That
is really damning.
That is damning.
Because it is so infuriating, the ending of this. I'm Margaret Atwood, I want to have a word with her because I'm really not happy about
it. Atwood.
Yeah, I am not happy. Okay, so just stop watching it. You won't be pleased with the ending.
What you're trying to say is that it doesn't resolve things to your liking.
Does it resolve anything? It doesn't resolve anything. The ending is terrible.
Do you find it more frustrating than Kiri?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
God.
Wow. This is my most frustrating of endings ever.
Okay, so you basically what you're saying is you're doing a reverse ferret.
I'm doing a full beep, 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 beep.
Reverse. Okay,
yep.
Cool.
Wow.
Okay.
It's an we've had such an unrecommendation on it.
Listen, it's an unrecommendation, right? Just stop. Yeah. I apologise for wasting your time. On behalf of Margaret Atwood, I apologise to you as well.
I love
don't
the way
watch
you're
it.
Speaking for Margaret Atwood. Well, I'm sure she's probably in favour of her own show.
Well, I don't think she... Well, she should have thought more about it. Anyway.
Margie, get in touch.
Right.
Margie.
On to something that is very satisfying. 24 Hours in Police Custody is back on Channel 4 at 9 p.m.
It's always on, isn't it?
Carabao is not always on. It has had a short 6-week break and now it is back. And it was back with a feature length one this Monday. It was fantastic. So come on a murderous journey with me. We're in a field. A woman's body is found and they finger the boyfriend straight away.
What?
Well, no.
Oh, can we use the proper term?
Why don't
point
you
the finger?
Just
no, you
grow
I mean, Steph. I mean, that was the expression. Wasn't
okay.
Great. Point the finger.
They point the finger at the boyfriend. And this, I can't tell you too much about it, but all signs point to him being the murderizer. Okay? You've got to watch it. He's a little bit unusual and it makes you question a lot of the things that you think about. He's one of these people that like keeps spreadsheets on everything that happens in his life. Even like things like, I tried to call this woman and she didn't answer. It's quite odd. Does have an excellent dog, and there is a scene in it where he shows you how he's trained his dog. So look out for that one. That's near the end.
Oh, that's good. It's dog based this week because last week it was dog free.
Yeah,
so
dog
actually, we
free.
Had some. Yeah, we had some people noticing on Twitter.
Yeah, thank God.
Don't
dogs
worry.
Are back.
Dogs are back, and the dog in it
crimey
is really
dogs.
Good.
Crimey dogs.
Crimey dogs.
Crimey
dogs. Are always involved in crime. Okay, now the other thing I've been watching. I know I'm late to the party with this, but I never watched Car Share, okay? And I knew you were going to laugh, and I thought, shall I bring it up?
No.
He's going to scoff.
He scoffs at everything.
So I've gone straight in on the second series.
Even better. Because you wouldn't want to watch the first series. Why
well,
would
I
it?
Just saw it on there, and I thought, I'll give this a go. And they're not in the car.
Even Kay's scoffing now.
Yeah, but they're not in the car anymore, are they?
What do you mean, of course they are?
Well, he's in the
car.
No. The whole first episode, she's only in the car at the end.
Okay.
Anyway, I thought it was fantastic, and I'm just going to endorse what everybody else has been endorsing for
years.
Well,
the finale's on soon, so...
Yeah, I really, really liked it. So you can get that
one
on iPlayer.
Have you seen the one with the blue Smurfette? When they're in the fancy dress.
No, but that's
he's
what,
Harry Potter.
That's what I call Kay Smurfette.
Yeah.
That's strange.
Oh, yeah, that's one of my... I think that's my favourite episode. Because
is that in the
Smurfette
season?
Who's supposed to be a lady dressed as a Smurf is played by...
Well, that's what lady Smurfs are
the
called.
The dude from Game of Thrones, his name I've forgotten. I'm going to look
Boyda.
It up. Well, you carry on and I'll look up his name.
Okay, anyway, I've been really enjoying that. And lastly, because I can't watch everything on Netflix, BBC iPlayer...
Conleth Hill. Carry on.
What?
He plays the blue Smurfette in that episode of...
And does he do a good job?
He's brilliant. He's absolutely brilliant. Yes. He's Varys in Game of Thrones.
Oh.
And when you know it's him playing this...
Oh, Varys. Okay.
When you know it's him playing this
character... Oh, he's
a
nasty bastard.
Exactly.
Right.
It makes it even funnier.
Okay.
Because he's the manipulative, guy.
Oh, I need
Game
to get
Thrones,
onto that.
And he's playing... And it couldn't be more of a contrast that he's playing this... This woman...
Smurfette.
Who's a Smurfette. Blue.
Smurfettes
totally
are just
blue.
So lovely.
Carry on.
Can I watch the first series on...
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I didn't, but...
FYI, they've been repeating the whole thing on Monday nights on BBC One in time for the finale, which is will have been gone out, in fact, on Bank Holiday Monday, because, of course, you're listening to this Tuesday. We're recording it before on the Friday.
And am I watching the second season? It is second, or is
it? Well, if you say you are, then you probably are.
How many
are there?
Which ones have you seen? The monkey one? Have you seen the monkey one?
Right. This is what happened in this one. So he was driving, she was walking to work, and she was on the bus and saying that she was in charge of sales, of the Christmas sales. And then
I
he meets
two, yeah,
season
two.
Two.
Yeah.
Anyway,
it's
very good.
Yeah.
Right. BBC iPlayer. Miranda Barber, serial killer or liar? Okay. No, it's brilliant. Okay. An hour. 1 hour.
Can't she be a liar and a serial killer?
I was just about to say that.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I wasn't going to say it.
I interrupted first.
Patience, my young friends. Right. Miranda, okay? She's got a few issues. She's
not Miranda Hart.
No, Miranda Barber.
God.
Miranda
Such
Barber.
Fun.
What I like to call serial killing.
No, Miranda Barber.
Right.
She's just got married and she's got a little baby and she's started meeting men, advertising to meet men on Craigslist, okay, or Craigslist if you're American.
Craig, yeah.
Which is just like, what's that thing we have here? Gumtree. Right. A guy is killed and she was the last person to call this guy. And they bring her, so they bring her in, they say, do you know anything about it? She goes, no, I've never met him before. Obviously she has. Turns out she stabbed him to death. Yeah.
So she really had seen him.
She had seen him. Not only had she lied, but she had serial killed him as well. Now the serial killerness comes in when they discover, well, she says, well, actually, I've killed 22 other people. Well, I stopped counting at 22 because it was a lot. People.
She's a satanic cult.
She's been part of a satanic cult. Won't tell you
everything.
Yeah. Maybe that's why she can meet someone.
Everything. It's got everything.
Where is this on?
It's on the iPlayer.
Oh, wow.
It's an hour long. It's really good. But I haven't told you everything, okay? I've just weaved a small tale. Okay.
Are you sure you haven't?
No, I haven't. You need to watch it to find out why it's so interesting.
What's that called again?
It's called Miranda Barber, Serial Killer or Liar.
Do you remember Barber?
Babar, the little elephant.
Babar. No, I think it was spelt Babar, but I think it was pronounced Barber.
This is like this Yanny Laurel
no,
thing.
No, it isn't. Mm. It's Babar.
Was it Barbar?
I mean, you're being very certain about it.
Well, I am, because otherwise you're ruining my childhood. It is Babar.
Okay.
If anyone knows the answer, send us an audio file. Let
Please
us know.
Please do.
Just an audio file.
Anyway, that's it.
That's good. That was very good.
Thanks.
I mean, you know, don't need my approval. Kay.
It's all I seek, Boyd.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Kay.
Hi, Kay.
Hi. Right, I want to tell you two things.
Just two?
Yeah, because, well, we recorded on last Monday and this is Friday and, you know, I was going out in between, so I've only been able to do a couple of things.
What have you been up to?
I don't want to go into that right now, but what I'll tell you is I have been reading this book, which I'm holding up.
Kay. In those 3 days, you've read that book?
Yeah.
Kay is holding up a book.
Yeah, it's Bryony Gordon, Eat, Drink, Run. Have either of you read it?
No, but I'm aware of it. I'm aware of Bryony Gordon's work.
I do like Bryony Gordon. She is.
Okay,
who doesn't like Bryony Gordon?
I mean, actually, that is true. Who doesn't like Bryony Gordon?
Carry on.
She is a Telegraph journalist, if anyone doesn't know who hasn't read the book. And basically, before she's written a book called Mad Girl, and it covered off her mental health issues, like she had bulimia, OCD, depression, anxiety. She's kind of had these struggles. And in this book, she kind of documents her choice and her decision to like try and kind of do something about it. And she thinks, actually, you know, the way I think I want to approach this, like I want to try and get out, because like the depression is like crushing. And she's like, right, you know what, I feel like if I get out and meet other people, that might help. So she sets up the Mental Health Mates, and she tweets on, like, I think it's Valentine's Day in 2016, she just sent a tweet going, look, if you've got mental health issues and you fancy meeting in this park, let's do it. And she's thinking like no one will turn up, because obviously it sounds a bit mad, in her words. And like she goes there and 20 people turn up, and she's just so overwhelmed by it. And it sets up as a regular thing all around the country. Even abroad, they've started doing it. And she also joins together with the Heads Together campaign that the Kate Wills and Harry set up.
Oh, yeah.
And it documents all of this. And it's, she kind of says, it's not like a, because it's obviously got the word run in the title. It sounds like it might be a running book. It's not that at all.
There's a picture of her running on it.
That's what makes me think it's about running. Which actually John Dunn did point out. Yeah. No, but it's more than that. It's just about everything. It's about like how she decided to kind of tackle her depression and anxiety. But I was saying to John Dunn, because I was telling him about this book, and I was saying, I don't have any of those things, but it's just such an uplifting read. And if anyone has read her works in Telegraph or her books or anything, she's such a great writer. She's very like unflinchingly honest. And this is just, I would recommend this to everyone. It's fantastic. And she also talks about like, because she made, she became friends with Harry, essentially. And she did this great podcast where she got him to talk about his mental health issues, which was just so kind of like pioneering and amazing for someone in the royal family to talk about it. I would give this 5 stars, and I insist that everyone reads it. That's what I'd say.
She insists.
She's thrown down that gauntlet.
So much so, I had 2 copies of this, right? And because I knew Steph would ask how much it is, it's $16.99.
Oh, hardback.
It's a lot.
Hardback.
It's a lot of money. And I had 2 copies, and I thought, you know what? Because I like this book so much, and it's like, it's so funny and warm, and like, I just think everyone should read it because it's great. I said to John Dan before we came in, you know what? I'm going to say, if anyone wants to read this, first one to tweet me, tweet our Miss Walls pod, I'm going to just send it to them in the post. Oh no, the colour drained out of John Dan's face. He started muttering about T's and C's. He said he felt very anxious.
You've got to be careful.
Very anxious about it.
Can't just willy-nilly stuff competitions. Well, there's rules about
this. It's not a competition. That's what I said to him. It's not a competition. Mm. But anyway, it made him anxious. I don't want to... This present I wanted to give someone to like make
them
feel
good. I think you should still do it.
No, I don't want to make John
feel... you're going to just... No,
he's
just
a professional.
Do it.
Nervous. He's a professional.
But anyway, you're not going to get it for free, so go and buy it, everyone.
Yeah. It's subtitled. Show it up to me again. It's subtitled. So it's Eat, Drink, Run by Bryony Gordon. How I Got Fit Without Going Too Mad.
Mm.
There you go. Yeah. Fascinating.
It's so
funny. She was at the wedding, wasn't she? She was at Harry's wedding, I think.
She was commentating. She didn't she go. I don't think
she went.
Oh, she
was commentating.
Yeah. She didn't get an invite.
Are you sure? I think she might have done.
Did she?
Yeah.
She didn't sell her goodie bag on eBay like everybody else.
The other thing I wanted to tell you was that recently I met Philip Schofield, who did an interview with him.
Pip.
Bong.
Bong. Pip Schofield.
You can't bong yourself.
It's a self-bong.
No, you can't.
It's a self-bong along.
No, I absolutely...
What? It's a bong along.
No, I absolutely refuse a self-bong. I'm sorry. Okay, you will be bonged.
Deny me the bong. Anyway, so it was because he's the host of the British Soap Awards, which I'm sure you're familiar with. He'll be doing it live on Saturday. And we got him to dress up as Hilda Ogden and Nasty Nick, and it's amazing.
If
anyone likes Pip Schofield or soaps, I do recommend you buy this week's Heat, because the interview's
is
in
that there. Just a plug for your interview in Heat?
Yeah.
Your second thing.
That's exactly what it is.
I don't know how you feel about that.
I mean, she self-bonged and then she plugged herself. Yeah. So she's
I'm transparent about it.
Yeah. With all this bonging and plugging, I don't know how I feel.
Look, all I'd say
name
is
dropping.
Last week I was talking a lot about the Soap Awards, so it's merely a follow-up to that.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm.
Boyd, are you going to be dripping in self-adoration?
Yes.
Of course.
I want to mention, I'm going to start with a podcast. Two podcasts. Mm. How about that?
Ooh.
Reads Like a Four.
What?
Is a podcast that's been going for a while. I think it's about 10 episodes in.
Mm.
A guy called Adam Brooks does it, who also does the Alan Partridge podcast, Monkey Tennis.
Oh.
And it's about critics. So each week he interviews a different critic, like a different genre, like a music critic. Peter Robinson of Pop Justice interviewed. I think his is two parts. His one is so long.
He's got a lot of stories to tell.
And I'm going to be on a future episode.
I was literally about to say, wait for it, kids.
When you were slagging me off for talking about Philip
Schofield. He's the best critics in the world. And funnily enough, I'm going
to
be on it.
Do you want to do a little apologia to me for mentioning Philip Schofield when you're just now...
No, because I was being wryly amusing, wasn't I?
I don't know, amusing.
I was just
anyway,
gonna,
when
gonna,
are you going
to
be on?
My plan was to mention that I was on it and then sit back and watch you two
descend.
Attack me.
Boy, yeah. Well, is Pilot TV still on sale?
Yes.
Just have
is it £5 minus a penny in all cool.
Anyway,
newsagents?
Adam Brooks was a delight. And but I'm not on it at the moment anyway. It might be ages. So I'm not. It's not such a self-plug because I'm saying listen to the... It reads like a four. Chris Mantle from Shortlist is on it, our friend.
Oh, yeah, he's good.
About,
what do you talk about in your...
I talk about TV previewing and reviewing.
Do you talk about this podcast?
I think I do talk about this podcast.
Give us some highlights.
I'm pretty sure.
What's the funniest thing you say?
How do we decide what we're going to review? That kind of thing. It's that kind of gist, really. Yeah.
Do you say it's a very autocratic process where you just decide?
Basically, yeah.
Don't consult your good friend Kay.
Listen, can't everyone just stand down? Okay, stand down.
Oh, when I actually do want to listen to
it.
Yeah, when is it
it's
be
good.
On?
It's I don't know when my episode's on, so that's why it's not much of a self plug as you two are alluding to. But you can Reads Like a Four. Check it out now. There's already 10 at least good episodes with lots of interesting critics.
I love the title of it.
It's a good title.
Yeah,
good
very title. Reviewy title.
And what's your other one?
The other one is brilliant, and it's a comedy podcast.
Ooh.
And it is. I'm saying now the best comedy podcast I've ever heard.
Are you in it?
Are
no.
you? What
Dear
is it?
Dear Joan and Jerrica, spelled J-E-R-I-C-H-A.
Right, I'm looking for it now.
Vicky Pepperdine and Julia Davis. Have come up with their own podcast in which they play, they're kind of agony aunts.
Oh,
who answer readers' mostly sex-based questions and problems. In them, if you've ever seen Julia Davis' shows... Fictional problems. They're fictional. They play faux kind of agonists. They're also like musicians, like folk musicians. So the theme tune is like an Irish folk thing. Julia's character is Scottish. She does this brilliant, like randomly, like Scottish. So you think they're going to be kind of prim and proper because they're, you know, middle-aged women talking about business problems. They are. It's the rudest, raunchiest, most shocking stuff that they talk about. And it's kind of, it's quite heavily improvised. I think there's kind of the basic, like, you know, they have the basic
structure, I guess. And so and the problems that they read out, listeners' problems with, like, I think my middle-aged woman writes in saying, I think my son's best friend, who's 17 or something, is fancies me or something like that. And then they go through this elaborate description of this young man.
Oh, my God.
Oh, body. I love it already.
It's hilarious. It's so
funny. How long is each episode?
Each episode is about 25 minutes, 30 minutes. So very manageable.
Snackable.
Yeah, snackable. I think there's four out there so far. I think it just launched last week. Pretty new. I only knew about it because Sam Bain, who writes Peep Show, he Facebooked about it. He mentioned it. So it hasn't had a big fanfare, I don't think. They kind of, you know, like soft launch there, but it's honestly.
What's the title again?
It's Dear Joan and Jerrica. And so if you look up Dear Joan, you'll find it on your podcast app or whatever the hell you use to find podcasts. And it is absolutely brilliant, as I say. I'm just checking.
Good shout, Boydo.
Right. Yeah,
I'm into that one.
Good. I'm glad I met with your approval, because when I don't meet with your approval, it's
you hear about
know
it.
About it.
Terrifying.
And yes. What else you been watching? Anything else?
And the other thing I wanted to mention was Quantico.
Do you know what? Every time I go to talk about that, I go to say Serpico.
Yeah, I mean,
that's just an interesting fact. I mean, it's not that interesting.
And it's got same number of syllables.
I say Serpico. It's not Serpico.
No, Serpico was a brilliant film starring Al Pacino.
Just say, as an aside.
Quantico is
starring your good friend Russell Tovey.
Quantico does star my good friend.
Didn't you go to dinner with him this week?
I went to lunch with him.
What did you have? Was it at the new Soho House?
No, we ended up going to a nice restaurant in Islington.
Was that where you just were at?
It's where I was just at. Yeah.
Well, you had the chicken.
Yeah.
Chicken broth
and mashed potato. No.
So cheesy just, mash, not just cheesy mashed potato.
Mash. Just been having lunch with Russell Tovey.
That's not why I'm picking. Oh my God, that's not why I'm picking this show. Quantico season 3. It's the third and final season.
Oh, has it been cancelled?
Been cancelled.
Why?
Because so even though it's been a huge international success, not enough people watched it in America. Went on ABC in America.
But you said it didn't matter because everybody was watching it abroad.
Yeah, in the end, I think it does matter. I've said before, because it was such a huge hit around the world. It's a big international thing. Mm. Shown on the Alibi channel here, which is a pretty small, you know, channel, has to be said, in the UK TV
family.
Excuse me,
I watch everything on Alibi.
Of course, it's murder.
Yeah.
It's crime.
Murder.
But I love this show because it's fun. It's like a really fun. It's like I regard it as what's that show that you like on Channel 4 with what's the name about the espionage people? I've forgotten the name of momentarily. You know, Channel 4 Sundays. It's just finished. You were talking about it like
Homeland.
Years. Homeland. Thank you. Middle age. I'm forgetting things.
Senior moments.
Senior moments.
King Lear.
It's like Homeland, but for fun. Like much
fun Homeland.
Yeah, exactly. Imagine. Yeah, so it's touching a lot. Mm. You know, it's like FBI, CIA people, international terrorism. It's all
got
the same
Priyanka Chopra.
Priyanka Chopra, isn't it? Who was at the royal wedding? Of course, close friend of Meghan.
Meg's friend.
I went on set for series 2 and met them all, including Priyanka and all.
Bong 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 bong.
It's got a great cast: Blair Underwood and
Blair Underwood's in it from LA Law.
Yes, the very same. He's brilliant.
Oh, I like it.
And I think because they probably kind of knew this would be the last ever series, so this is a bit different to the first two. They're all scattered to the wind, all the different characters we know, and then they're brought together for a special mission. And it's funny and engaging. I think you'd like it.
How many series were they signed up for, and do they get paid for those series that they're not doing?
I don't know that. I don't know.
I'd be really interested to know
I don't
that.
Think they get paid for the series they're not doing. It's an option, isn't it? You sign them up for an option, and then if it cancels, there must be clauses. But I think, you know, they all get, it's primetime American stuff. It's just brilliant. I do love, I mean,
I don't think
we
need to have a whip around for them.
No. Part of the joy for me is seeing Russell Tovey in this context of a big American, slick, fast moving, brilliantly made show, which is very, very fast moving and pacey. But the great thing about this series is always Marley Matlin is in it, who's in the West Wing, you know, the deaf actress.
She's lovely.
She's brilliant, and so they all have to do sign language to her at the moment, and they address the fact that she can't hear. That's part of the whole
be rude
character
not to.
And the development, and but the way people react to it is quite interesting and realistic, I think.
Okay.
Anyway, Quantico series 3, it's on Alibi, and the reason I mention it is because Kay and I were talking about which shows we should transparently review. I'm being transparent, not transparently review. I'm being transparent. And in the end, she went for the didn't you, Kay? You went for the Welsh program over Quantico. And I'm not saying you're wrong. We'll find out.
Shall I tell you, but can I give my reasoning? Because I also did want to review Quantico, but I just felt that because Quantico's been on and Hidden hadn't, we should give it the new things a fair chance.
This was the reasoning. I went along with it.
I mean,
but
it's still a fair point.
And it's still mentioning Quantico. So Quantico, FYI, is on the Alibi channel.
Right. Can you get Russell Tovey to come on this podcast, please?
Well, he was on this podcast. Because if you look back in our library in past episodes, remember earlier on, I did a couple of specials. Yeah, lunch
with that's not the same
Williams.
As being on with us. That's what
no,
I
that's
want.
No, that's true. I'll ask him,
And is it his dog called Rocky?
Rocky, yeah. Rocky was at lunch,
Oh, Rocky was at lunch?
Of course.
Oh, did you get a picture?
No, I'm sorry. Oh, but I'll ask him to come on. Yeah, I'm sure he wouldn't mind. Yeah, but it's a good idea. The Empire podcast recently did a special episode and with Amanda Abington.
Yeah,
which
I
was
brilliant.
So if they did that, what we can just.
But you just need to ask these friends.
We just need to go to your contacts on your phone book.
Yeah. Otherwise, we're never going to get to the Cafe Nero with a live show.
You're right. Yeah, I should have asked Amanda Abington before Empire.
I know. Why didn't you?
I blame myself.
Everyone else really does too.
Maybe we'll get Amanda Abington. She can do like all the Bauer based podcasts.
I really like her.
She's brilliant.
She's great in.
She was great on the Empire podcast. By the way,
she could have been great on our podcast, though, is what I'm saying. Anyway, sorry, let's not fight about this. Let's not fight.
So, Quantico, the third and final series, starts on the Alibi channel on Thursday, the 7th of June, next Thursday at 9 o'clock. And watch it, it's fun. And now, I believe it is time for what we like to call
the tweets before the meat.
Okay, what, pray tell, have our listeners been saying to us this week?
Right, well, this week I came into work one day wearing a ginormous bun on my head.
It was fetching.
In the fashion of Minnie Mouse ears, right? Minnie.
I thought you looked lovely.
Yeah, well, thanks, Steph. When I turned to Boyd, he started laughing uncontrollably and said that I look like Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Jealous.
Gary Oldman.
Yeah, so he...
Heavily made up.
Yeah, so
as a 100-year-old Dracula.
He got a picture up to show him, and he goes, this is what you look like, pointing at me and laughing. Then John Dan, in the mood for mischief, decided to put up a pog poll on Twitter.
John Dan, you did.
To see whether people thought I did look like Dracula or not. And I'm happy to announce that only 29% of you pogs thought I did look like Dracula.
Are you joking? Did we actually do a poll?
Yes, this is it. Look. You can go on, Pogs, go on Twitter.
It's good. It's good because 7,000 people took part in the poll.
I'm sure they did.
And that's a good result for you.
Only 20, that's still quite a lot, isn't it?
Yeah,
I think Boyd multiply voted, though.
Fair, dear.
Anyway, you didn't look like Dracula.
Thanks. Anyway, that was the first bit of news.
By the way, I'm a big fan of that look. I love...
Don't try and turn this on. Everyone's a fan of
Bram Stoker's Dracula, directed by Francis Ford Coppola. It's a wacky film.
Not for in the office.
Boyd, do you think someone wakes up in the morning and thinks, yes, the look I'm going for is Dracula?
You know, I thought it could be a tribute to this great film.
Well,
this
it bloody arty... wasn't. Okay. It was just me doing a bun. Anyway,
anyway,
it's fine.
Carry on.
It's fine. We've moved on. All right, so... As you'll remember, last week in the pod, at Fenwood, had mentioned that in Auckland, they have really good cafes that we could potentially go to.
Oh, yeah. He's our far-flung pod.
Well,
we
didn't know, but he's got in touch and he said he does actually live in Auckland. Wow. And he said he has a sofa bed for Steph and I to sleep on, an air bed for you, boy.
Oh, you have to bring the camp bed.
No mention of John Dan, so presumably he's on the floor. And then he said... Yes, Steph, the cafes do serve hot chocolate.
Hocho. Okay, yep. I'm there.
But sadly, he can't pay for flights.
Why not?
Okay. It's a bit of a reason.
It's a rethink.
I know, it's definitely a rethink.
That is the sticking point, isn't it?
I'll email our boss at Bauer.
Bigboss@bauer.com.
Yeah. And we'll see. We'll sort it out.
Okay.
I thought it'd be fine.
Well, we had a suggestion that actually we launch a POGS app so you can see worldwide reach of the POGS like this as the...
Well,
is that
that's
an actual
like,
one?
But then I don't know if we have to send out GDPR and stuff.
All I'd say about this is...
Like, you know what I mean? God. If we get this details, then do we have to send out that email going, are we allowed to use your address to come and visit you randomly?
I think so. But also, that is a good idea, but it's also slightly stolen from the Witter app, which is the famous... So Wittertainment, the Simon Mayo, Mark Kermode show, they have the Witter app where they can see fans of theirs are in the world. Yeah. So it's slightly stolen from that. It is completely stolen from that. Why shouldn't we? Yeah.
Yeah, let's rip
there
off.
So how would we do that?
Well, we'll get John Dan to sort that out. I said
it's
I didn't I literally I replied
and said I do not.
A short app build calculation, getting everyone's personal information
and
then
I don't understand
up.
Any of this, but if it means that we're going to New Zealand or to some far flung places, we're in.
Yeah, it doesn't really mean that, but yeah.
Okay. And then the last thing I wanted to we had a question to end on.
Oh.
The end of the podcast. This is not the end of the
this
podcast.
This is a brand new
Hold
question.
Hold on.
Look how nervous they look. Right. At Neil Hayes says, Netflix has offered him another 3 month, right? He's already watched in his previous 3 month, House of Cards and Stranger Things. And he said, what's a must-see? So I thought if we all give one recommendation, just one. Mine is Safe.
The OA.
All right. Boys is the OA. I'm saying Safe with Michael C. Hall. Oh, Steph, what's your one Netflix recommendation
for
Neil?
It's not a lot. Just stay the F away from Elias Grace. That's all I want you to do. Oh, my God.
Just
Making a Murderer.
Okay. Cool. So Neil, sign up for another free month, watch those, and then get back in touch and let us know if you enjoyed them.
Thanks. Thanks, Neil. Is that
How come he's got a double free month? Is this someone
I don't know.
It's the thing that Netflix have offered him.
So he's done one free month and they've said you can have another free month.
Apparently.
Neil, get back in touch. Yeah. Let us know. We'll talk about it next week.
Steph Watson. Steph's angry that she's paying every month. She's doing it two free months.
As I said to you, I've got multi-screen, so at $7.99 I'm very
happy
with it.
She's not paying. She's done it on the legals. Anyway. No, I'm joking.
Oh my God, if that was true.
She hasn't.
Or hell would break loose.
Disclaimer, she hasn't. Don't take her away. We're going to New Zealand.
Before we go to New Zealand, it's time for the meat. Let's begin with what I've already described as the Welsh noir of hidden noir, hidden. And because Kay is our resident expert on Welsh drama,
she is.
I'm going to come to her to describe what the hell this new series is.
Okay, it's an 8-part drama starring Sean Rhys-Williams as DI Caddy John, and she returns home because her dad is really unwell. Her two sisters are already there looking after him. She comes back home to look after him, but also gets embroiled in a new murder investigation when a young girl is found in a quarry, obviously dead, and it turns out that she is a girl who's been missing for many years, and the police had kind of been a bit remiss and hadn't fully pursued it, and in the end it turns out that she had been taken captive. She was still alive but then got brutally murdered in the last few days, so the police are in the shit, TBH. Not looking good for them or the girl, and she has to investigate, and there's loads of other interweaving stories that I was gonna say I can't be bothered to tell you about, but no, I'm not going to tell you about.
What
I don't want to ruin it for people. I don't want to ruin it for people.
Fair enough.
There's other stuff that happens.
Okay.
Other stuff happens. Yeah. Controversial. I mean, I hope so. This is going to be 8 hours of it to come. Now, did you watch, Steph, the Keeping Faith thing that Kay witched on about?
And today
endlessly,
when I said, I'm going to watch it, Kay was like, you're too late. Can't watch it anymore. So where can I watch it, Kay?
Well, you've missed it.
What, forever?
I was banging on about it for a long time.
Is it off
time.
The iPlayer now?
I think it is,
okay,
yeah.
Well, I'm sure it'll be out on DVD soon. DVD.
I've told you I've got DVD player.
Okay. I'm sure you'll be able to find it if you look hard enough. Anyway, so you haven't seen Keeping Faith. What did you think? We're all fans of Scandi Noir.
We love a bit of Scandi Noir.
Did you get what I'm saying, that this is Welsh Noir?
I literally wrote, can you see what
Welsh
I wrote?
Scandi Noir, underneath,
can I speak Welsh?
I don't know, can you?
Welsh Scandi Noir. Well, one of the things about this is it made me start believing I could speak Welsh, because you know every so often they say a word in English. And they're like, oh, I speak Welsh. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, I understand that they do that, but I never thought I could speak
Welsh. I'm just saying, sometimes it sounds, the words, it makes me think I can speak it, because the words, it's onomatopoeic, so it makes, that word was very long. But it does make you think that you can speak Welsh. So I'm just saying, I did.
Just to the confusion, we should say one of the things about this and the Keeping Faith is that there's a whole series now of these Welsh dramas that are filmed in
simultaneously.
Both, simultaneously. So in Welsh, so they make, and in English.
But this one
imagine
has a bit of...
Has some subtitles, you're right.
Well, because difficult.
I think those characters, aren't they? The ones that are speaking Welsh with
the
something,
deep
the ones
Welsh.
That are working class. Yeah,
they're in the
rural,
valleys.
Right. Mm. And I think they're trying to signal, aren't they, that there's
the
a
valleys.
Class... Classrooms between
I know,
people,
and it is hard when you don't know when a valleys person's coming up, because you need to look at the screen to read what they're saying.
Yeah, you don't like reading.
I think always look at the screen.
Yeah,
I know, but you know, that is the best thing. Drift off a little bit.
It's not a drift off. Don't
crank
drift
up.
Off.
Crank up one of our illegal films.
But listen, you never know. The accusations flying around this pod today are outrageous.
But were you compelled? Were you? Did it feel original enough, or different enough, or enjoyable enough?
It felt enjoyable. It felt like every other Scandi noir type thing I'd seen, but that is not a bad thing, because it's obviously something that works very well. And I thought, you know, the Welsh have done us proud, because they've done this Scandi noir thing incredibly well. I really like the main lady, what's her name?
Sean Rhys-Williams.
Yeah, thought she was really good. The thing is, honestly, it's not particularly original, but it was very, very enjoyable and very intriguing. And the guy who seems to be the perpetrator of the crime in this first one.
Yes.
He's an incredibly interesting character.
Dylan Harris.
Yeah.
The character played by Rodri Melia. Yeah. I hope I'm pronouncing that right.
His mum doesn't seem very nice, though.
She's a little bit of a nasty bastard.
She threw his dinner at him in one of those scenes, and I couldn't work out what the dinner was.
Yeah.
But there was definitely some hot mash.
Concerned about what dinner was being thrown in his face.
I actually was quite interested in that, but and he's got a lot of dogs, and they live outdoors, which I don't like. But
that is interesting, isn't it, Kay? Because this is, I believe they call it, I know they call it a whodunit. It's not a whodunit, because in fact, if you're paying attention, then they basically reveal who the killer is in the first scene. It's not, I mean, that is the premise. I'm not spoiling it. Do you know what I mean? Yes. You see him, and then as you
I quite like that though.
Yeah, so that's, I guess, is the original thing in this, isn't it?
And what's it called? A why done it?
A why done it, instead of a who.
So it's all about why.
Oh, yeah, no, I understand that. I am familiar with what why means.
Explain it further.
No, it's all about a why. I understand that.
A what's
it's called
done
a why done it. Yeah. Okay, I hadn't heard the why done it.
So is that effective for you, is my question.
Yes. So I thought this was very dark and atmospheric. Like Steph said, it's, I don't think it's like groundbreaking and, you know, or original. It's good at what it does. I felt like the first episode didn't really pack a punch.
Ooh.
And I felt it was a little bit slow paced. But towards the end, when you got to that character you were talking about, Dylan.
And the mother.
And the mother.
And the dinner throw-in.
Yeah, and there's a lot of like tense scenes between them. That's when it piqued my interest. And having read the synopsis of the series, I've realized that actually it's going to completely, all of this is going to be the unraveling of like why the person has done it and etc. And that makes it more of a draw for me.
Let me read you what series co-creator Mark Andrews said.
Please tell us, Mark.
Hidden is part police procedural, part psychological drama, and from the outset, we tried to avoid playing the game of whodunit. Instead, we set out to create a show that offered a much fuller examination of a crime, the abduction, rape and murder of a young woman, and they wanted to work out why the monster, Dylan Harris, that character, was always going to be a challenge. They wanted to humanise him without making you empathise with him and think, oh, you know, this is not, he's a psychotic. Mm. But you see, particularly with the relationship with the mother. And I thought that was really interesting. I agree with you. I think once, the more you saw of him and the mother being absolutely horrendous to him and manipulating
him. But I feel like they could have brought that forward more.
Maybe. You do see some of him. You see him in his where he's working in the factory.
I think it's obviously a scene setting first episode. So,
But it very much reminded me of, and I give them credit because I was thinking, oh, you know, this is quite a lot like The Bridge, because there's a lot of shots of her driving a car across the rural expanse, as in very similar to the shots of...
It's a bit like a Visit Wales advert. It is not. Well, it is. No. It's nice. It looks nice.
But to give credit to the showrunner, in this interview, which is on the BBC website, he says, when it came to the writing, where Fennessy was drawn to shows like Prime Suspect, True Detective, The Bridge, The Fool, so they credit these other shows. I thought, and it feels like a melange of those things, but I thought it was interesting enough in its own right. And I'm definitely going to carry on watching it. I definitely want to know, because there's going to be much more to come about.
It sounds exciting. From what we've read, it sounds like...
Have you seen the film Kiss the Girls?
Yeah, of course.
That's what it reminds
me of.
Yeah,
it's really good, that film. Yeah, I agree.
It's a bit
similarities,
like that.
Because there's a forest setting in that film, of course.
That's,
and there's a lot
exactly,
of
and there's people
action.
Underground captive.
Yeah. Okay.
No, I was going to give my score.
Yeah,
okay. She's
right, on my, based solely on the first episode, I'm going to give it 3.5.
Ooh.
Yeah. But I know it's going to be 4+ going forward.
Well, I'm giving it a straight 4.
I'm going to give it a 4.2.
Cool.
Just to underline that Hidden is on BBC One Wales, if you have access to that channel, on Wednesday the 6th of June at 9 o'clock. As soon as it's finished, which will be about 10 o'clock, everyone can watch it on the BBC iPlayer. And then if you want to watch it on your TV on BBC Four, it's on the following Saturday at 9 o'clock, just to be really confusing. One way or another, you're going to be able to watch it.
Hidden. Wow.
If you've got Netflix, though, and you're into true crime, by golly, you've got a treat
coming
up.
That's no one in this room, is it?
No.
Who
the
would
staircase
be?
And now we were talking about this last week. You know all about the staircase. Did you watch the original Staircase then? Yes. Tell us. Please, God, tell us, Steph.
And you know what? I meant to say, we're stupid because last week.
Whoa.
Well, no, me and Boyd.
Oh, fine.
When we were trying to place where this murder was, for some reason we both said late 80s and it's not. It's like late 90s, early 2000s.
Right, yeah. Stupid.
So apologize. Critters. Apologia. Okay. So this is. There was an original documentary called The Staircase about a man called Michael Peterson, who was a novelist and journalist. He was married for 20-something years to a woman called Kathleen. And one day, she was found dead at the bottom of the stairs in their very palatial house.
No bueno.
Yeah. He frantically phones 911, because they're in America, and says... Oh my God, my wife, she must have fallen down the stairs. She's not breathing, blah, blah, blah. Or she is breathing in the first one and then she's not breathing. By this time, the second call goes out, she's not breathing. It's a very, very simple, did he kill her or didn't he kill her? Originally, all the family, which is comprised of 2 sons from his first marriage, 2 adopted daughters that he has, and Kathleen's daughter, all side with him and say he didn't do it. And then things start to become unearthed about his life. Now, the things that become unearthed about his life make you question his reliability as a husband and non-murderer. Okay. It's in episode two where you find out that he's perhaps been having affairs, perhaps bisexual.
Perhaps. I like the way you're. If you think perhaps, you mean it's not going to be a spoiler. Yeah, it's fine.
Perhaps
it's fine.
Bisexual.
I think it's
exactly.
isn't he even alluded to in episode one?
No, it's not. Because by the end of episode one, you're kind of like, it's a no. But as we said before, if you've like murdery podcast, you may have listened to Beyond Reasonable Doubt, which was the podcast earlier this year of this crime. So a French film crew follow him around, and this is a remastered and resorted version of what happens, and it follows his defense team around. It's cut into with police interviews and interviews with his family, so it is literally the most in-depth you could possibly get as in bed with a potential criminal and their family as you would ever want. It's utterly compelling.
I mean, you even see in episode two, I think, you even see him being trained, don't you, for the trial.
Like, it's fascinating.
So they bring in an expert in making people look better than they would do if they're going to be.
And is it about like reading the jury and like.
How to behave in front of a jury. And it's so interesting, that bit. Yeah. Because have you watched episode two yet? Okay.
No, but they do that kind of stuff. You know, like Good Fight.
Right.
Like, yeah.
But it's not even just training him what to say. It's like literally they have the whole thing about how to get relaxed.
How to speak,
How to speak. What not to say. It's so interesting.
So clinical.
It's absolutely fascinating. This is, I think, I do think it is the most in-depth I've ever seen of any crime show.
Because the original series, to say, was made for French television by Jean-Javier Lestrade. Brilliant name.
Why? That's interesting. Why for French?
I think he'd
French
already
audience.
Filmed, I read, this director had already made an award-winning documentary before. And then he got the trust of, he just took the chance of speaking to the defendant, to the accused, and he got their trust, and then he immersed himself in the defence team, and as you say, gets access to the detectives, which is incredible. So you see, you're seeing them trying to work out what's gone on as well, and very kind of full-on interviews with the alleged perpetrator.
Yeah.
Now, and I believe as well. So they, as you say, they've remastered this for Netflix. And I think it's like 10 episodes itself.
Yeah.
And then there's three new, brand new episodes. This is the exciting bit.
Oh, it's so exciting.
Which I haven't got to those yet.
No, I've only done that.
So
three.
When it arrives next Friday on Netflix, you'll have 13 of these. But I think for people, anyone into true crime, like you're, of course you
but
are.
But even if you're not into true crime,
what I was going to say was not whether watching the series at full stop, everyone's going to find it compelling. It's the fact there are three new episodes that is the big news. Because this is, I think, next to Making a Murder, I think before Making a Murder, this was probably the most famous true crime series in its own right.
Yeah.
Out there. Like, certainly among true crime fans. Like, it was definitely a thing that I'd heard of, never actually seen. Now I've seen it. It is incredible what they go through. My favourite bit, just quickly, is there's a brilliant, talking of, I'm glad you mentioned the bisexual thing, because there's a very funny bit in episode two where one of the detectives is saying, he did get involved. He was very interested in military men doing things with each other. Like, she kind of looked, and she looks a little glance to camera just to go, I know, it's terrible, isn't it?
Yeah. Because he was in the military, but it comes out that he lied about various things. And then they show, they pull off all of the photographs that he had on his computer. Yeah. Yeah. And that's
pretty compromising positions, yeah. Okay, presumably you're new to this. Had you heard of this?
Yeah, no, I hadn't at all, except for when Steph mentioned it last week. I find it obviously really fascinating, and it is like one that I'm going to watch throughout. But you know what I feel like? You know, they've got these new episodes. I wish they'd start it off with a snippet of the new stuff. Yeah. Because for me, it just feels quite like, because of the old footage and everything, it just feels very done, historic. So,
right, yeah.
If they had like started off, for example, with some new footage to like, and then you go backwards, and then you're like setting the scene, and then you have these final new episodes. It just felt like a bit like, what's the reason for me watching this now? I know it's because there's new episodes, when you have to wade through 10.
You need to know the whole of this case,
exactly,
though.
I think they have to keep it like that.
Because loads of other things have happened.
Right.
So you think, you've watched his first episode, and I mean, I've now told you that he is perhaps bisexual, which happens in the second episode. And then there's so much other stuff that is going to be revealed about him and things that he has done. And so by the time you get to the new episodes, you will definitely have a he did it or he didn't do it. And then I'm hoping that these new episodes, which we won't go into what they're going to do, but are going to give you a whole new insight.
I hadn't seen any of this. I'd heard of it, but I hadn't actually watched any of it. So I guess I thought the case itself is intriguing enough in itself, and then the incredible thing of watching this access play out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
As
no, it is true. I
think if the access hadn't been as
complete as it was, and unprecedented in a way, then I know what you mean. I think, yeah. But for me, the actors were so unbelievable.
Yeah, it is.
That made it worth it right from the start. That was my feeling, yeah. But I think episode two is key. Soon as you see the beginning of episode, which is where it all starts with the bisexuality stuff,
yeah.
Oh my God, that's a whole new
thing.
Because it's like, who knew about that? Did his wife know?
Yeah.
Who knew? Who didn't know? And he's confronted about these things. So his lawyer literally goes to him, "So, by the way, we found these emails from this soldier, this guy in the military, to you about your gay affair." And you just don't normally see people, do you know what I mean? Alleged perpetrators being confronted by stuff.
Minute by minute, yeah, there and then. That's why it's so good. Because he will find out new bits of information and they film exactly those moments that he finds out those new bits of information, which is
original reality TV. It's murder reality.
It is kind
of. And also, I think it's a real lesson for script writers to see how he reacts to certain things. And it reminded me of dramas I've seen.
Yeah.
When people are confronted by a truth that they have to deal with somewhere, how he kind of slightly wheedles his way out of things is so interesting.
But very famously, outside of the courthouse, because he's a novelist and because he's a writer, lots of people called his innocence into question when he said this famous line about holding Kathleen in his "I carry Kathleen in my heart forever," because he wants to sound poetic and romantic, and he actually just sounds really fake. And I think a lot of people from when he did that speech were like, oh, he probably killed her, actually. Yeah. But it's what's really interesting is the way you slowly see it unravel and people turn against him. And they're like, oh, yeah, but what about that first wife? And what about his son who had all those debts? And what about... It's amazing.
It's a tangled web.
It is a tangled web.
It's going to be a talking point.
Yeah.
Okay. How many stars are you giving this?
I'm
giving
five. Five stars. Oh, yeah.
Oh. Five.
Of course it's five. Oh.
It's the thing everyone's going to be talking about all over again.
Yeah.
The Staircase starts next Friday. It doesn't start. It all drops in Netflix style next Friday, the 8th of June? Yes.
In my head, I've been calling it The Stairwell.
Don't call it The Stairwell because that's
not
the title.
Well, it is sort of a little bit of a well bit at the end of the stairs, but that isn't
it,
their name.
It's a
the well of her blood.
It's like, you know, where the stairwell kind of curves round, that stairs does. Yeah. Isn't that called a stairwell?
Isn't the stairwell more in like a municipal building, like our building we're in now, rather than a mansion?
I don't know why I brought it up. We don't need to get bogged down by it.
You'd say, by the way, she's found a bit at the foot of the stairwell in a mansion, would you?
I think you'd say she's found at the stairwell because when a staircase swivels round, that's the well of the staircase.
I think if we carry on,
just dropped his head into his hands. Everyone.
I was going to say, if we carry on talking about this much more, either Kay or John Dan is going to kill us or one or both of us,
and then you'll both be in the stairwell,
not at the bottom of any staircase stairwell in this room. Let's move on finally to Dietland, which is the big new show. This was the show Kay decided to do, let me remind you, instead of
I hadn't watched
Quantico.
It.
She hadn't seen it.
I just knew it was a new proposition.
It was all the elements. Because it's partly set in a women's magazine.
I know why she did this. Julianne Margulies
from The Good Wife is in it. It's partly about magazines, and we're all working in magazines, let's face it. It's still just about, we're still going magazines.
You've just started a new one.
I know, buy it. Please, God, buy it. It stars Joy Nash, who you may recognise from The Mindy Project and Twin Peaks, as the main character who's called, believe it or not, Plum Kettle.
Aww.
Yes, she is. And her job mainly, she's kind of like a freelance journalist writer, and one of her main jobs is to write the answers to the letters that are in this magazine run by Julianna Margulies' character called Kitty Montgomery. And the magazine itself is
Daisy Chain.
Daisy Chain, thank you. I was looking for scrabbling around in my notes. Daisy Chain. Slightly unusual name for a magazine. Mm. Not really very convincing name for a magazine. So it's really about, I would say, Julianna Margulies is kind of the supporting character. And she's the big kind of egotistical, glamorous, flouncy, feisty editor the Anna Wintour, so to speak, of the magazine. But it's really all about Joy Nash's character, Plum Kettle, who is, it's fair to say, a large woman, plus size. I'm trying to think of the politically correct phrase for that. But it's all about body image, body shaming. She's in a kind of a group, a kind of self-help group for people who are eating.
Waste Watchers,
thank you. She has lots of issues about that. So, and then a kind of big thing happens in the opening episode, they're showing, starting off with two episodes, by the way, it'll be on weekly, and they're showing the first two together, so it's like a kind of hour and a half thing altogether. And there's this kind of underground group if you like, feminist activist group of renegades who get in touch with her somehow, and then it all kicks off. Yeah. That's all I'm going to say. So I think to say much more would be to spoil it. But one thing I did was going to mention is I read an interview with, so this is based on a novel that came out a while ago called Dietland. And the writer of the novel said she saw Fight Club, that film with Brad Pitt and thingy. And
Ed Norton.
Ed Norton. I wanted to make a female-led version of that. So that's, I think, adds a whole
new... Oh, she's kind of done that.
Right. Kay, this was your choice.
Justify it.
Defend it.
Well, I thought it'd be one of those things where she either predictably loses loads of weight, gets a moke over at the magazine, and you know that would go one way, or it would be that she'd have a real fuck it attitude and think, no, I'm not going to, because she's very talented, she's a talented writer, and then she'd change the attitude of the magazine, you know, in that predictable fashion.
Yeah.
But I was very happy that it was neither of those things, actually. And the subplot of loads of like male murders and, you know, retribution for crimes against women was the most interesting part about this whole thing. And that's
this
me.
Activist group.
Yeah, this activist group. Jennifer, I think it's known as.
Yeah.
And that was the best thing. I thought Juliana Margulies was really one-dimensional. I was a bit disappointed. I know she's meant to be like that. That's her character. But I was like...
That's the script, isn't it?
I mean, it is the script. It's not her fault, but...
I felt. Steph?
I absolutely loved this. I thought it was completely original. Yeah. I loved the whole premise of this. I absolutely adored the main character. I thought she was highly watchable, and I just sort of fell in love with her a bit because I just thought she was so good in this role. But it's actually a very subtle performance from her, but she was just so likable. And like you said, I'm so glad it's not... What I'm really glad about is that even though these people are trying to say to her, look... You should love yourself as you are. You know, there's this whole big storyline about uncovering a terrible diet camp that she actually used to go to when she was younger and how actually it didn't work. And it's just sort of all the fads of diets are exploded, aren't they? But in what I enjoy about it is actually she still wants to lose weight. You know, they haven't made her suddenly go, you know what, I'm beautiful on the inside. So that's all I care about. She's still going, no, I'm going to have this gastric band surgery. And actually, I do. I'm not happy with what I look like.
This is very bold.
Yeah, it is really, really bold. And it's an incredibly, like I said, it's just a really original concept. I really thoroughly enjoyed it. Plus, it has got that most adorable dog in it.
Of course.
No, but it really has.
It all comes
her
down
best
to...
best friend. Yeah. Okay, dream scenario. I have a best friend who owns a bakery. That would be my dream scenario. That best friend has an adorable dog. Double dream scenario.
Yeah.
And she also baked, oh God, the cakes as well that she bakes in this. It's just lovely. But yeah, I really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was great. I'm definitely going to carry on watching this.
What do you think, Boydo?
It reminded me of, you say it's completely original, it reminded me quite a lot of My Mad Fat Diary. Do you remember My Mad Fat Diary?
Oh, I never seen that.
Oh. Well,
is this it?
It was unethical, based on Ray Earle's book. No, it's different. So the
you just said it was the same.
Well, I'll tell you. I'm going to explain the ways in which it's similar. So the whole activist thing and the revenge on men thing is unique to this, definitely. Which is,
good.
I think, my favorite.
That's the best bit.
That's the best bit, right? Good. But to start with, I thought this is really like my Mad Fat Diary, because there's even so in my Mad Fat Diary, which is very much about one younger woman. So she was a teenage woman. A plus size woman who's, you know, dealing with student life and, you know, the crass stupidity of most people about body image and stuff like that. But it was all about body image and depression and dealing with all of that. And it had a lot of fantasy sequences. You know, like in this, there's animated...
Cartoon sequences.
Literally,
really like
there are
those.
Animated bits in My Mad Fat Diary. I thought, oh my God, this is really similar. Oh. And I really like My Mad Fat Diary. And I kind of thought, to start with, My Mad Fat Diary was better than this. Because My Mad Fat Diary is very... has an incredible energy to it.
Where can you see that?
I'm sure it may well be on the 4OD, whatever it is. I think it may well be on there, but check it out. But then, for about the first half an hour, I was disappointed with this, I have to say. And I thought, it's like Mad Fat Diary, but not as good, and a bit, I thought it was a bit slow. It took its while.
The second episode, I think, is better than the first.
So, thank God. And I bet that's...
That's why they've done the double bill,
the reason they're showing the double bill, because the second episode is where it all happens for me. So I know you have to set things up in the first episode. You have to set up the character and the world and all that. But I did think it was weird. If I'd been in charge of Amazon Prime, I would have gone, you've got to redo that first episode. You've got to make it, get into the nub of it quicker, because... they spend a long time introducing her character, and she's great and everything, but she does underplay it a bit, you're right. Mm. And when Juliana Margulies comes in, she feels like she's overdoing it a bit. And it just all felt a bit unconvincing to me. Then the second episode arrives, and you're like, oh, it's found its pace, and it's much more interesting. So I would urge people to stick with it, because now I want to carry on watching it. At the end of the first episode, I was like, I'm not sure if I could be bothered.
Really?
But I did carry on, because I'm
That's so funny, actually, because I was going to stop after the first episode.
I could not discern where the first episode ended, so I just kept watching.
Oh, okay.
I just divided it, because it was very long, wasn't it? It was like 1:20, so I was an hour long.
Oh, no, keep going with it, people. Okay. Keep going with it. It's good.
But it is good. In the end, it is good, yeah. And it is definitely original. It's that element. It is that Fight Club, that kind of what it's saying about this activist group. I think it's really exciting and interesting, yeah.
Yeah.
Dietland, it's on Tuesday, June the 5th, on Amazon Prime, as we say, starting with two back-to-back episodes. It's made for another channel. In America, I should have written that down. It's an acquisition by Amazon Prime. It's not an Amazon Prime original, which is why it's not all in one go. I think it's on AMC in America.
Okay.
John's nodding. Which is the home of The Walking Dead, another massive Breaking Bad. It's the home of brilliant TV in many ways. Check it out, Dietland. That's it for me.
Hold on. Shall we say what we're going to give it
I'm giving it four, Boyd. I'm giving it four.
Sometimes the format has to be kept stuck to.
It really does, boy.
You're giving it five, you're giving it four, I'm giving it four.
I think you should give it four and a half.
No.
Why not?
Because I'm sticking with my mark.
Usually I can persuade you.
Because that first half an hour, they need to sort that out and they didn't.
Okay, fine. Just saying. Fine.
That's Dietland. Now, finally, it is that time.
It's question time.
In honour of Hidden, what is the best Welsh person or thing?
This was one of the hardest questions you've ever posed, Boyd.
Really?
Would
I go for good Welsh?
Would I go for Colin Jackson? Should I go for Tom Jones? Rob Brydon? So many great people. But I have made my decision, and it is Eve Miles.
From
Keeping Faith. Faith Holes. She was amazing. She's started my interest in Welsh drama.
She's in Doctor Who spin-off Torchwood.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. She's a fantastic actress. Mm-hmm. Very watchable in Keeping Faith. That's my answer.
Stephanie Seelan.
I am going to say the Queen's Welsh Corgis, which are her dogs. And they are Welsh.
I mean, I don't know if we're allowing
that. No.
Is that allowed?
What? They're Welsh. Welsh corgis are a thing.
Let me just refer you to the wording.
Welsh person
or
slash thing.
Thing means like, you know, TV show, film. Yeah. Are you calling dogs things now?
I'm calling them persons, actually. Like, okay, if I can't have Welsh corgis, can I have Welsh cakes?
Oh my God.
I suppose it is a thing. It's a thing.
Okay, hold on.
If you want to have a Welsh cake.
I really, really love Rod Gilbert, and he's Welsh.
That's good. We'll allow that.
Yeah. Phew, got there in the end.
Accepted.
Phew. So if I saw Rod Gilbert walking along eating a Welsh cake with a Welsh corgi, that would be dream scenario.
That is absolutely fine. Well done. Thank God we got there eventually. An acceptable answer. I'm going, you mentioned it, Kane, your build-up.
Brydon. Yes.
Oh, cool.
I was toying with Hopkins, because I think...
I forget he's Welsh.
Sir Anthony Hopkins is an absolute legend, and because we covered him in King Lear last week.
Catherine Zeta-Jones! I forgot about her. Oh, I'm changing my mind.
No.
She's Welsh.
Yeah, she's not.
You've made your decision, Steph. We have to take your first answer.
She's not even in the top 10.
Catherine Zeta-Jones is not in the top 10 of Welsh people.
Do not poke the beast.
Not for me. Brydon.
Darling Buds of May.
Anyway, all right. So if you want, are you saying Jones now?
Yes.
CZJ.
I say CZJ.
Anyway, Rob Brydon, from the beginning, Marion and Jeff.
Oh.
Yeah, you see.
Bryn.
Hasn't barely put a foot wrong. Barely put.
I'm having the gnocchi, Gwen.
Thank you. and he's a legend in real life. You know, I know him quite well in real life. He's absolutely adorable.
Oh, is he?
Funny,
he hosted
engaging.
Our company awards and sang Delilah, do you remember?
He's a brilliant impressionist, among many other things. He hosts the best panel show in the world, Would I Lie to
he
You?
He does those Good Cruise adverts.
The Trip with Steve Coogan. He does those Cruise adverts. They're funny.
They are funny. Even he's made Cruise adverts funny.
And he's in a new film coming out soon in which he plays a synchronized swimmer, in a male synchronized swimmer.
Of course
swimmer.
He does.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, which I'm going to see
seen
soon.
Yeah.
Yes. So, Brydon. The greatest living Welshman.
Oh, do you know who I just remembered?
Apart from
Ruth
Hopkins.
Jones.
She's great, yeah.
She's also a great
listen,
Welshman.
Just a new rule for this. You have to give your first answer is the one
that
will be accepted.
Well, then mine is Welsh Corgis.
On that note, that classic note, that classic dog-related note, I feel it's a goodbye for me.
And it's a goodbye for me.
And it's a goodbye from me.
And we'll be back next week. Bye.